what would be your advice for somebody that wants to do something completely different because they're so passionate about it?
I don't believe that you have to turn everything, every passion into a business or into a career. When you don't actually address the root cause, when you don't address the real issue, which is you don't know what you want, then the same problem's going to follow you to your next role, even if you move jobs.
What are some signs that maybe you are on the right career path?
Number one, that understanding, I call it your career sweet spot, you know, really knowing what the work is that you enjoy doing, what your strengths are, what your financial lifestyle goals are, and that impact you want to make. So really understanding your purpose and your values.
One of the things that I think do hold so many people back when it comes to that sort of career progression piece is imposter syndrome, is feeling like they're not good enough.
Realize that you're not alone. I delivered a training session. We had over 400 employees. We did a survey and it was over 90% that said they'd experienced imposter syndrome.
Stacey, welcome to the Career Confidence Podcast today. It's an absolute honor to have you on. I am really excited to get stuck into today's episode. All I can say is, where were you a number of years ago when I was having a bit of a career meltdown of what I wanted to do? So I think your business, your coaching practice is very, very needed. So before we dive into the episode today, can you just give the audience a little bit about your background, where you've come from and who you are? So over to you.
Thank you so much, Georgie. It's an absolute pleasure to be here with you today. And I guess I'll start out by saying, first of all, everyone, I'm Stacey Back. I'm a career and leadership coach, speaker, facilitator, and I specifically help high achievers who are at a crossroads in their careers. And the reason that I do this work, going back to the story and how I got here, is because feeling lost and confused about my career direction is something that I've experienced, you know, many times, you know, pretty much my whole entire life. So if I take you right back when I was really young, I was, you know, I'm talking when I was 6 or 7 when, you know, I felt like anything was possible and I had all these ideas about all these different careers that I wanted to do. Very, very multi-passionate. And what I found was as I started to go into high school to a point where I had to start thinking about what is the career I want to, you know, choose. The university degree that I need to study to I guess pursue that career path, and therefore even in high school, you know, subjects that you need to study to get there, like I felt this huge amount of pressure to figure it all out when I was, you know, 15 years old and I had no idea. And I remember doing these career surveys, you know, like the career counselor would hand out these surveys you do and they print off this list of jobs that you were supposed to be, you know, perfect for. And all of these careers to me just didn't seem to fit. And, you know, I felt like I was being boxed into one particular career, but also because I didn't know what I want, I felt a huge amount of pressure. The one thing though that I was really clear on right from a young age, and I did listen to actually your very first podcast, Georgie, where you were, we've got some alignment there, is that I always knew I wanted to start my own business one day. So, and for me, that was inspired by my dad. He was a small business owner. He'd started that from when I was, I think I was about 3 or 4 years of age and built that up into, you know, a very successful business in the town that I grew up in and in the city that I grew up in. And, you know, for me, that was really, really clear. That's what I wanted. But it took a lot longer to figure out what that business or what that career was going to be for me. And so the journey went where in my 20s, I traveled, I tested out lots of different careers. I worked in the health and beauty industry. I was a makeup artist. I went to London. I worked in advertising sales. And where I landed was coming back to my home city of Perth in Western Australia, and I entered the world of recruitment, which I know you also know very well, and you've spoken a lot about with Pam on this podcast. And it was something that I guess I got exposure to it when I was in London. I had lots of friends that worked in recruitment, and it was sort of that career for me. I fell into it because I'd done a lot of sales, and I realized I was really good at sales, and I love talking to people every day. And I always say, I can't believe I got paid to talk to people every day. So I guess that was, you know, where I started to build a foundation in that industry. That was going back 15 years ago. And I found I was, you know, I worked really, really hard. I looked at the successful people around me. I followed their example. And I went over and above, I guess, what I was required to do. I worked really, really long hours. And, you know, I got the accolades. I got the promotions. I got the financial success. And, you know, built my division into one of the highest performing businesses, not just in Australia, but within the Asia Pacific region over consecutive years. So, you know, on the outside, I was successful. But there was a point where I started to think, you know, my life became all about work. I started to think, is there something else? And it was really for me what the push was that made me leave that corporate career and start my own business, which is what I did 10 years ago, actually, this year. The push was my partner, who is now my husband, had worked in the same industry. I had said to me a few times, you know, I think you should give this a go. And I'd sort of pushed it aside and thought, I can't start a recruitment business. I can't do this. But it was really, we went through some cultural leadership changes within the company I was in, and that created a bit of dissatisfaction. And then it was also this, you know, dream of, I want to start my own business that I'd had ever since I was a kid. And kind of, I've got nothing to lose, you know. And I think also being a bit over like these really enforced KPIs and targets and things when, you know, I'd really built a business within a big business in my own way. And so I took the leap. I started that. It was a legal recruitment consultancy that I started, which is the area that of recruitment that I'd worked in Western Australia for nearly 6 years prior to that. And, you know, it was, again, very quickly a huge success. I know, you know, you understand this, having done that same leap. You know, it takes a huge amount of courage, determination, hard work, and I put in those hard yards, and I made it, you know, it was also a success. And so what happened that kind of led me to then move into coaching and do something completely different where I am now? It was really after 10 years in that industry that I started to get this sense that something wasn't quite right. It's just this dissatisfaction. And I thought it was, you know, a little bit odd and new. And I just, you know, I went through the typical way that I handled things, which was to put my head down, work hard, and just keep pushing forward. And over time, and I would say it was over, you know, a 6 month or more period, that I just found that this dissatisfaction started to grow. And it got to the point where I was really dreading going to work every day. I was feeling, you know, I was really, really, honestly, very miserable in when it came to my work. And, you know, deep down, I knew that I needed more than just a break. It wasn't that I was tired, but it was a really highly unusual for someone who, like me, that considered myself, you know, ambitious and a high performer. And so it was that sort of very first moment, I guess, where I started to do a bit of reflection and start to really consider what I really wanted. And through that process, I realized that I loved being my own boss. Yes, I was making great money, but I wasn't fulfilled. You know, there were parts of the work I enjoyed, but I wasn't deeply fulfilled by what I was doing. And so I knew that I needed to find something more meaningful. And so I think that's the point where I was, that real crossroads moment where I know you said that something you experienced a few years ago, and where my clients are. And so the process that I went through was really a bit of exploration to figure out what I want to do next. And for me, that looked like exploring different career ideas, things that really interested me, looking at the elements of, say, recruitment and the past things I'd done in my career that I was really good at, that I enjoyed, testing those things out, like actually getting out there and taking action. And so for me, that was, I started an HR postgraduate because I thought, you know, I might do some HR consulting. I started my coaching qualification through that process. I also worked with a coach, so that gave me some exposure to, well, it was really coaching, training, facilitating, these speaking, these sorts of skills. And I did some volunteering. I found ways to test those skills out. And it was really then that I landed on coaching as the thing that I wanted to sort of move into and transition my business through. And it was really through that exploration process that what I learned about myself was that I hit this point 5 years into my business where I'd started this business. The why behind it was because I actually wanted more freedom. I wanted better balance. And I had absolutely neither of those 5 years in. And I started to realize that this story of anxiety, stress, burnout, it was something that I had experienced in my business as well as my corporate career. And I really learned that my identity was tied up in work. And I just had no clear purpose behind what I was doing. And there's this concept I talk a lot about now where, like, I realized through that process I was, you know, really striving to reach someone else's version of success, that external success that, you know, society says is, you know, what makes you successful. And, you know, I'd spent the majority of my career working towards the things I thought I should be doing, not what I really wanted. And so that's where I often talk about, you know, starting your career from the inside out rather from the outside external internally. And really now that is the mission behind my work is teaching people to how to redefine success their way and, you know, design their careers on their terms. And so that's what I do now. So I've got two arms to the work I do. I've got the individual career and leadership coaching that I do with my clients who are high achieving leaders at a crossroads in their careers. They need support to figure out what do I want next, or how do I get there? What's the plan? What's the strategy? And how can I do that with confidence and, you know, minimize the risk? Because it is a huge move when you've followed a really traditional career path to then think about even doing something next. And the second part of the work that I do is with organizations. So to help them develop and retain their best people. And so that is through career development workshops and also some executive coaching work within organizations as well. Yeah. So I've spoken a lot, so I'll let you respond to what I've just shared.
Look, I actually sort of feel like I'm kind of speaking to the mirror. A lot of the things that you've said, I can completely take a breath and relate to. I found myself in those situations quite a few times in my career. And look, I love to, we're going to go into so much, but one thing that I think is a really bad message in our society is this whole thing of, like, you know, follow your passion and you'll never work a day in your life, right? This is the one thing that I just wanted to talk to you about as well, because it fascinates me, and I'm probably going to go off on a little bit of a tangent now, but we'll come back to the main thing, because I really want to give people some strategies, a plan, if they do find themselves in a position right now where they go, God, I'm really unhappy, right? But what I came to realize throughout my journey as well, Stacey, I'd love your thoughts on this, is that just following my passion. So for example, my passion is health and fitness and well-being, right? I've always been passionate about that since I was a young girl. And during COVID, you know, the recruitment company got to a point where it was sort of like we had some staff and it was, you know, it was tickling along, but we were quite quiet because of COVID. Obviously everybody was freaking out, no one was hiring. So I took the opportunity to explore this passion that I'd had for years, and I went in to do a bit of coaching, started a podcast, and look, it was an amazing experience. But what I soon came to realize 2 years into that was that actually just following blindly my passion without a plan, without some real thought behind it, was such poor advice. And if you had told me that maybe 5 years ago, I would have probably maybe argued that, go, no, like, work should be passionate, you should be meaningful, you should be fulfilled in your work. It absolutely you should be. But just blindly following your passion is, I don't believe, the right advice in our society right now. So what's your sort of thoughts on that? And when you're coaching people that come to you that do feel lost, and they say, look, I've got this passion, like maybe they're in, you know, corporate, they're working in an executive marketing role, they've got this passion for yoga. but maybe that's not a viable business option, right? How do you go about coaching them, and what would be your advice for somebody that wants to do something completely different because they're so passionate about it? Where would you guide them?
Absolutely. I love this question. So I've got plenty of thoughts on it. I'm 100% with you. I don't believe that you have to turn everything, every passion into a business or into a career. That's the first thing that I'll say. I will have clients who come to me. One person comes to mind who came to me saying, I want to find my passion. I want to find my thing. And so I guess that's the opposite, that rather than turning that passion into a business. And what I always encourage my clients to do in the beginning is to let go of attachment to a particular career or job, and actually start by, if you don't know what you want, start by, like I did, exploring, coming up with ideas. And if you do know what you want, regardless, where we get to is, we actually want to find ways to really test and validate that idea. So while you're still in your corporate job, your established career, actually finding ways that you can go and work out. And what we want to assess is, first of all, is it something I actually enjoy doing? Is it actually a passion? Is it actually something that I want to do a career in, that I enjoy this work? And if it is a passion like yourself, where you said, you knew, had always known health and fitness was something you were really passionate about, do I actually want to turn this passion into a business, or is it really just a hobby and an interest that I have that, brings another element of fulfillment to my life, but it's not my life's work? And doing that in a way so that you can assess that. And of course, if it is, an important part of that as well is looking at your strengths. I always say what you're good at, what you love to do, what you're good at, but also what are your financial and your lifestyle goals as well? And all of those things need to be taken into play and considered. And if it ticks all of those boxes, fantastic. And then we go into, how do we create a plan to get from A to B, so that if you're going to make this big transition from, say, like you say, corporate executive marketing role into yoga, if you decide that that's what you really want to do, now you and I can't sit here and say that, yoga is not a financially viable career, because we know you're not going to make as much money doing yoga. There are people out there that are doing, making amazing money, doing all sorts of things in the health and wellness industry. But again, it's about working out what success looks like to you. How much money do you actually need to be making for that to be, for that to support your lifestyle, but also, do you actually want to be spending all of your time doing that work? So that's how I approach it, is by firstly testing and validating to work out, is this actually viable, but also considering all of those aspects, not just what you enjoy. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, look, that's really solid advice, because like I said, I want this podcast and this conversation today to be some real steps and tangible advice for people. But what I also don't want to give people is the wrong illusion that everyone's got this passion and purpose in life, and we've got to turn that into a career or business. And look, I think what I've come to realize as well is that that there are always things in a job or career or a business that you love, and there's also things that you don't love. And nothing out there is perfect. We can't have things that tick every single box for us, and if we want to chase that, then we're really setting ourselves up for failure, because nothing can do that. And I love what you said then as well, Stacey, about figuring out how much money do you want to earn, what kind of lifestyle do you want to live, do you want to be able to take your family to abroad every single year, do you want to live in a certain suburb? Because these are all the things that I think is really important to figure out before you career hop or go and change a career, because you can soon find yourself a little bit stuck and you go, oh, have I made the right decision? So I think that the importance of knowing who you are and what drives you and what success means to you is absolutely the first step that people should take. And I absolutely agree with your advice on that. So let's say there's someone listening to this right now and they are at the point in their careers where they are looking for a change. They don't quite know what that change is. They do have this burning desire to do something else or to, you know, progress in their career. What are the sort of the first steps you advise people to take when they're at this sort of career crossroads and they're a bit confused and they're seeking a bit of clarity? What are sort of the first few steps people can take?
Absolutely. So the very first step that what I do find with when people are feeling lost is they get stuck. So they're basically in analysis paralysis. There's a lot of thinking. I know for me and the clients that I coach, you know, it was almost like, I call it like almost going down the Google rabbit hole, like trying to Google careers, like try and work out the destination point, try and work out what that dream ideal one job or dream career is. And the way that to actually start finding clarity is actually through action. So moving out of analysis paralysis into action. One suggestion I have is a lot of what we've already spoken about is really about following your curiosity. So that could look like volunteering or finding a, you know, so even if you don't know sort of within your existing job what it is you want to do, following the things that interest you. They don't have to be things in, you know, within your work or existing profession. It could be like volunteering. I've got some clients that will find a board position. It might be hobbies and interests that you pursue on the side. It might, or a side project. In the workplace, it might be shadowing someone in a different department or working on a project, an additional project with someone internally in an area that you enjoy. Great process is actually going out there and talking to people who are doing work, whether that is the type of career, whether it's the industry, whether that's the organization they work for, talking to them about what they do. So almost if you've heard of that concept of informational interviews, you know, so that you are opening your mind up to new possibilities. And it's also, again, a great way for you to actually start to test and validate those different career ideas that you have and start narrowing in on what you want to do. And through all of these processes, you're putting yourself in new environments, in situations, in front of new people. And all of that is expanding your network and, you know, opening you up to potential opportunities that may also come your way as well. So that is, you know, that following the breadcrumbs almost. And the more that you do that, the more you get out there and take action, the more clarity that you're going to start to build over time. That's the exact process that I followed. And the other, I guess, tip that I would add in there is letting go up front when you don't know what you want to do next. Let go of attachment to it having to be, like having to figure out a particular job up front. And instead what we're doing is focusing on exactly as you had just articulated, Georgie, you know, focusing in on understanding who you are as a person and a professional, what you enjoy at work, what success looks like to you, getting clear on that, what you enjoy, the work you enjoy, what you're good at, what you love to do, your purpose, your values, your financial lifestyle goals, understanding that before you even think about making a change. And that how we get to there is by letting go of attachment to having to figure out that particular job and also getting curious and getting out there and taking action and following the breadcrumbs. And that's when you'll start to find that clarity.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And something that I've experienced in my own journey as well. I actually took some time during COVID. My husband and I, we did up a sprinter van and we did up a little bit of travel around Australia. And it was incredible. And you know what? That was the first time in my life, you know, I'm 35 now, that I actually kind of slowed down a bit. And what was amazing of what came up in that experience of like all the things that I had tangled my self-worth into. And it was just slowly unpacking and unpeeling all of that just to be like, actually, who is Georgie as she is without her career, without her business, without her houses, without any of the external things. Who is she? And am I proud of who I'm becoming? And that was a long process, but I'm so glad that I did go through that process, because what it allowed me to do then is, when I did step back into CH Solutions, the recruitment business, I came back as a whole person and came back actually knowing who I am, with a lot more courage, with a lot more confidence, with a lot more self-awareness. So now I find it easier to navigate the struggles and the challenges that come up week to week in recruitment, because I'm like, okay, cool. Just because that's happened is not a reflection on me. Whereas beforehand, before I really knew who I was and focused on that internal piece, everything that happened externally was just like another knock, was another, you know, was another cut, was another thing that happened.
It was personal.
That was knocking. Yeah, correct. And it was really sort of like, you know, molding my identity. And it was making me quite hard and quite sharp and, you know, not somebody that I was potentially sort of like proud of who I was becoming. So like that, I was very fortunate because I had a business, because I had a bit of freedom that I could take some time to do that. And I'm just sort of, as I'm speaking now, I always want to make this relatable to everyone listening. And there might be people listening to this right now, probably quite a few people listen to that, that say, well, that's great, Georgie, good for you. But I am working a full-time job. I'm a mom. I'm busy. I haven't got 5 minutes to think about anything, let alone, you know, go on this, you know, vacation and figure myself out. So look, just I guess advice for, you know, how important is it just to take the time each week to just sort of spend a bit of time with yourself, reflect and really get to know and understand you, your motivations, your strengths, your weaknesses, the things you need to work on, and how can, you know, people craft that little bit of time in their week for them? But more importantly, yeah, why is it important to do that?
Yeah, okay, so there are a few questions here. So it's almost, why is it important?
And just how do you, throwing it all at okay. you.
And how do you do that? Where do you even start? So I'll answer the first question, why is it important? I think the why is exactly what, you know, the reason is because of what you just shared in your own experience and what I've shared in my experience, is that otherwise we end up, our careers, we just kind of let our careers happen. They happen on autopilot. And that is always, in my view, a recipe for, you either start to head towards burnout, or you hit a stage in your career where something happens. And it sounds like for you, it was prompted by that, you know, by COVID and the fact that you had space and time to step back and actually start to think about these things. We get caught up on the hamster wheel of, you know, our daily roles, tasks, our to-do lists. And we don't actually think about what do we want and or what do we want longer term and the direction that we're heading in. And that's where, you know, often something will happen where with the leaders that I coach, it is usually the, I guess, tipping point for them to come and contact me and work with me, is that they get to this stage in their careers where they think, where else can I go at my level, either in my profession, in my organization? And that prompts them to start thinking about what's next. So of course, if you have that, you know, if you do hit that point, obviously that is an opportunity for you to start thinking about this. But I 100% agree, you don't need to go off and spend, you know, a week away on some retreat or take a lot of time with this. It's all about building it into your routine on a regular basis. And we should all, even if you're real, if you say you're really, really happy with what you're doing in your career at the moment, it's still so important to invest time regularly to reflect on your career goals, your development areas, how your career is progressing. Because even if you think about, you know, the change, technology, all of the things that we've gone through the past few years, it just makes sense from a future-proofing your career from that perspective, making sure that you're building a career that's sustainable, is to continually be investing in developing yourself and your skills. So in terms of how we go about that, what I would say is, rather than, I don't really like to talk so much about time management, I actually think the secret to making it happen is actually self-management. So actually you taking personal responsibility for you know, really getting clear. It's really about understanding why this is important to you, and taking that personal responsibility to invest the time in it. Because if you don't have that If you don't have a clear reason, a desire behind it, then you're not going to make the time. It's like anything in life. We're all busy. We also all have 24 hours in the day. So really, you know, time, yes, we all have busy stages and things like that in life. So it's really about working with the time that you have and understanding why this is important. And so on a very practical level, you know, that could look like, so say with the clients that I work with who are all very, very busy people, but they make this commitment for a period of time. They're going to focus on identifying their career direction and creating a plan and starting to work towards that. It could look like, you know, an hour a week that they carve out. For some of my clients, it's 10 minutes a day. So it's actually putting aside chunks of time that works for them. You know, you've got to sort of also work out what works for you as an individual. But it might just be, you know, doing that reflection once a quarter, definitely at least once a year or every 6 months, you know, working it around your kind of performance review process, that those happen at least once or twice a year, you know, those types of conversations. And rather than seeing it as, you know, I'm going to go and talk to my boss about my performance and find out whether I get a promotion or a pay rise, using that as an opportunity to actually sit down and do the self-reflection to say, what is it that I want? Am I on track towards that? What areas do I really want to focus in on developing? And actually communicating that to your leader if you are in a corporate career and getting their support to really build out and develop your career over the course of the year. But I think the key is know your why behind it. So really know why that's important to you. Yes, carve out regular chunks of time to actually review your career and how it's going and clarifying what your goals are. And above anything, keep taking action towards your goals as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely key, isn't it? And you know, it's like, how do you build a house? It's one brick at a time, right? And I think sometimes it can be very overwhelming when we are before, like when we go from stuck to clarity, there's just this sort of like grayness in between where we're sort of like trying to sort of figure out what is next. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I wanted to quickly pop in and talk to you about our amazing supporter, CH Talent Solutions. We are an IT and digital recruitment company based in Australia. If you are someone right now looking for a new opportunity or considering a career pivot, please reach out to one of our consultants. Or if you are somebody looking to build your team or build your company or scale, again, please reach out to us if you are looking to find the best tech talent fast. I look forward to connecting with you. Now back to today's episode. Enjoy. But the one piece of advice that I always give to people as well when they're feeling stuck is, you know, to really explore opportunities potentially in their own organization. And, you know, there's so many amazing people that end up leaving organizations just because they haven't put their hands up for something, or the leader doesn't know that that's what they're interested in, and they end up moving on.
Yes.
And you know, they could keep on moving up in the business. So as an employer now, you know, somebody listening to this that maybe's got a team and maybe they're identifying a few people in the team that are A players that, you know, are thinking, oh God, I don't want to lose her or him in the business. They're fantastic. Like, what are some of like maybe like the early warning signs do you think of somebody sort of starting to sort of get a little bit, oh, what's next for me? Like, you know, you've been in recruitment a long time as well. You've probably watched some signs and experienced them yourself. So as from a employer perspective, you've got a high performing team, you don't want to lose them. What are some of the things that an employer could do to make sure they don't lose their great people to other businesses or they go off and leave? Like any advice for that?
Yeah, plenty of advice. Yeah. So that's actually interesting you speak about my background in recruitment, because that was something I found really frustrating about recruitment. I got to the stage where I found I was recruiting very similar roles in the same teams, you know, at the same level sort of every few years. It was almost like this cycle of there'd be people moving on. And what I noticed amongst the candidates that I worked with was that often people would move jobs without actually really knowing what they wanted. And so you know, they'd find themselves 2 or 3 years down the line. And I always say, when you don't actually address the root cause, when you don't address the real issue, which is you don't know what you want, then the same problem's going to follow you to your next role, even if you move jobs. So that's sort of why I became so passionate about coaching and doing this work. But back to your question around what can leaders do to retain their teams and really start to identify those signs that people are thinking about leaving. I also find that often employees are not actually having these regular development conversations with their leaders. And it might be because they think they're afraid. It might be that they think that their leader's not going to support what they want, because, you know, it might be that they want something a little bit different and they just assume that that opportunity isn't available in their immediate team or organization. Again, this is a belief that is often untrue and not tested. And also with the organizations I work with that bring me in to present and teach their employees how to take ownership of their own career development. Every organization that I work with, they always talk about that they will support their employees making internal moves. So whether that is into a different team, whether that's into a different department, you know, different type of, even changing careers internally. And I have actually supported leaders that I've coached who have moved internally into different roles within their existing organizations. So employers and organizations support it because they realize the benefits of holding on to their top talent. So I would say signs, I mean, you're going to start to see some disengagement very likely. You know, there's just all the talk about quiet quitting and how people start to, you know, you probably start to notice that performance drops off or their interest. You're going to notice a shift in someone. But I would say by that stage, it's probably too late to be addressing it. So what we want to be doing as a leader is being proactive. And so really making sure with our teams that we are sitting down with them and saying, hey, what is it that you want in your career? Where do you see yourself going in the next couple of years? How can we support you? And, you know, having those conversations on a regular and ongoing basis where they are focused on the individual and their career goals and their development, not performance, not their daily tasks. So actually having separate conversations on a regular basis. And as a leader, you can start that tomorrow. You can reach out to your team members and have these conversations and let them know that you want to support them. I think as a leader, we also need to be aware that we need to be prepared to let our people go. And what I mean by that is let them move maybe internally into another team or department, rather than losing them to another organization. Because too many people I speak to will say that they, and I saw it in recruitment, too many people will actually go out, just make an assumption that what they want isn't available. They'll go out, they'll apply for a job, and the first time their manager even hears about it is when they resign. And so we don't want to get to that stage. So as a leader, it's kind of being proactive. It works both ways. As an employer, you need to take that responsibility too. But the best thing that someone who is leading a team can do is actually just being aware of this, making sure they're having regular ongoing conversations with their teams about their development, supporting them. And, you know, even if that eventually looks like supporting their applications or supporting them to find other opportunities internally. So that's what I would answer in response to your question. Yeah.
Amazing advice. Yeah, I think so much good talent gets lost because, you know, hiring managers, HR professional leaders they're not maybe sort of sitting down with their team on a regular basis and just going, hey, how are you going? What's happening? And getting to know them on a personal level, I think that's the key, right? Like what drives them? What motivates them? What are their goals? You know, they want to send both their kids to private school, or they want to go and, you know, move to the suburb. Like what is driving them to come to work every day? Or maybe they just want to feel like, you know, they've got more job satisfaction, which is something that came up in a recent report that we ran. Like salary was really important. I think that's because the cost of living is going up and mortgages are going up. So salary is actually kind of like really moving up the ranks of what's important to people. But second to that was job satisfaction. Like people do want to feel like, you know, they're coming to work every day and they're feeling that sense of pride in what they're doing. And, you know, I think that's so important to really understand everyone's an individual and everyone is coming to work every day for a different reason. Obviously, yes, the financial aspect, of course, is important, but it's not the be all and end all. And sometimes it is just sort of tapping your key people on the shoulder and saying, hey, you know, love the chat, love to learn more about, you know, what you want to do, what you want to achieve and things. I think that's absolutely solid advice. But one of the things that I think do hold so many people back when it comes to that sort of career progression piece is imposter syndrome, is feeling like they're not good enough and they haven't got the right skill set, or, you know, they're comparing themselves to everybody else in the business. So we all have had it. We all experienced it. But what advice would you have for people that are struggling with that imposter syndrome right now, that don't want to take the next leap in their life and their careers because of this fear of not being good enough? What advice do you have for those people?
Well, it's a big one. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. So first I'd say, realize that you're not alone. So I've been, I delivered a training session to a financial services organization. We had over 400 employees on the call. And, you know, we did a survey and it was over 90% that said they'd experienced imposter syndrome or are experiencing imposter syndrome. So just really knowing that you're not alone, it's actually really normal. Anytime, it's actually a sign that you're learning and you're growing. Anytime you are stepping outside your comfort zone, you know, it's very normal for that fears to come up. And that big one, as you said, of not feeling good enough. It's a very, very innate fear. So in terms of practical ways to work through it, the biggest shift for me, and what's really supported my clients as well, was really that understanding that 90% of our thoughts are subconscious. So there's all these thoughts going on, you know, dialogue, internal chatter happening subconsciously. So we're not even aware of it. It's like a computer program happening on autopilot in the background. And so the first step is to actually become aware of what that, you know, limiting belief is, what that negative self-talk, that fear, really bringing awareness to it. And then you can start to question it and think differently and actually take action. So a example that comes to mind is really common one with the clients that I work with is when they're considering doing something different, and we get to a stage where they're either making an application, they're actually looking to apply for a role, or even just to reach out to someone in their network to talk about this new career path that they've decided that they want to do. This fear will come up that I'm not qualified enough, you know, particularly if you can imagine they're thinking of doing something different where they maybe don't have the experience. I'm not qualified enough. They'll start to, you know, that not enoughness will start to come up. So in that situation, it's really about becoming aware of what is the dialogue that's going on internally, bringing awareness to it. Secondly, starting to question it. So actually saying, is it true? What evidence do I have of this? And I went through this with a client the other day, what evidence do we have? And the evidence we came up with was that she was actually, you know, she had X number of years experience in business, in her areas of expertise. She'd only have made one job application. So the evidence in terms of she's not qualified enough to do that role was at this stage quite limited. And all the evidence we have was that she was highly, highly qualified and very, very capable. So in that stage, it's then deciding what you want to do with it. And I think there are two choices. You can stay stuck. You can, you know, focus on that fear and stay stuck in it, or you can choose to do the uncomfortable thing and actually take action. And so in this example, it would be, you know, applying for that job, reaching out to that person to connect and have a conversation. So doing that thing you're afraid of, because the courage, having the courage to do that is what builds your confidence and reduces the imposter syndrome and the self-doubt, you know, over time. So they're the tips I have in terms of working through that.
Such good advice. And you're so right, because once you are aware of something, you have the power to change it, which is something I truly believe. And one thing that's also really helped me as well, because look, I think negative thoughts, you know, imposter syndrome, fear, it is never going away. We just have to accept that. What I used to do, which was so, you know, what I've come to realize is not the right word to do it, is I don't want these thoughts, go away thoughts. And I try and like, you know, fight them all the time, right? And it, you know, it's like once you start looking at, would you say, I don't want to focus on that, you start focusing on it even more, right? So that's just how the mind works. And I really started to educate myself on the mind and how it works. And what I've learned to do now is when I have a negative thought or when I have a limiting belief, I just literally just repeat this: I am not my mind. I am not my mind. Instead of trying to like analyze it and go, oh, where did that come from? Which I used to do. And I'd go down a spiral and go, oh, you know, I'm not my mind. I am not my mind. And it just calms me right down and just kind of just, it just kind of like floats through as opposed to me locking in, analyzing it and going, where did that come from? Oh my God.
I love that.
You know, I think we don't have to unpack everything because God, we'd be sat there all day. And one thing I realize is when you sort of start meditating and you start noticing your thoughts more, you go, oh my God, I'm mental, I'm crazy, I'm absolutely nuts, like where are these thoughts coming from, right? Like, good God. But yeah, just having that little mantra, I am not my mind, I am not my mind, has really helped me come back to the present and just go, right, just I'm not, I can't not have that thought. That thought is there for whatever reason, and just trying to ignore it or wishing I didn't have it is actually going to make it enhance it even more. So just something that's really helped me, I wanted to share. But
yeah, look, I love that.
Finally, Stacey, I could, yeah, look, and try it and let me know how it works for you. But being quite an A-type personality, I was finding I was locking and loading into it and wanting to unpack it and, you know, journal it all out. And I thought, actually, this is not helping me. This is kind of making me focus on it too much, which is quite interesting. But look, finally, Stacey, like, I think we've covered so much ground here, and I could honestly go on for hours with you. But we've talked a little about, you know, finding clarity and, you know, discovering when you are not in the right career. What are some signs that maybe you are on the right career path and things are going well for you? Like, is it a feeling? Is it, you know, I don't know, waking up every day is feeling excited? What are some good signs that you are on the right career path?
Absolutely. So I think something you just touched on when you were talking about that practice is actually, which is also a sign that you are in the right career path, is actually moving out of logic and out of the mind and actually focusing on how you feel, how you actually feel in your body. So, you know, I would say the way that you know that you are, or signs that you are in a career that is right for you, that's aligned, is really, number one, that understanding, I call it your career sweet spot, you know, really knowing what the work is that you enjoy doing, what your strengths are, what your financial lifestyle goals are, and that impact you want to make. So really understanding your purpose and your values. So that once you're clear on that, you're going to know, you can easily see whether or not, you know, the work that you're doing is aligned to that. I find values is a really good way of assessing that in any, you know, any given stage or when you're making decisions about your career. So, you know, typically, if you feel fulfilled, satisfied, you know, really in flow, energized by the work you're doing, it is a sign that you are in alignment with your what matters to you most, that career sweet spot that we've spoken about, what you really want from work. And when we are perhaps experiencing agitation, frustration, if you're finding that your work is really draining you, these are all indications that it might not be the whole role. It might just be, because you've even touched on it at the top of our conversation, you know, you can't expect to feel lit up about what you're doing and be doing your work that you're passionate about 100% all of the time. But we want to obviously balance it towards what we, you know, to feeling really fulfilled and satisfied as much as we can. So it's really about if we are identifying that, you know, maybe there's something in, we're not honoring our values. So for me, that example I gave about really understanding freedom was a value for me, why I started my own business. And then, you know, noticing, observing that my pattern was that I didn't have any freedom. I'd actually work myself to burnout. I was working crazy hours more than I even had in my corporate career. That for me was an indication something needed to change. And so you know, the first changes were around, you know, for me, lifestyle and leaning more into what freedom means to me as an individual. So anyone can apply the same principles, but it might just be, you know, you might notice in certain situations, or it might be a certain task that you're doing that you're feeling really drained by. Maybe you're doing heavy administration and that's not your area of expertise. Well, you know, can you get an assistant or, you know, get some support in and start to delegate more to team members? So that's where I would start. But in terms of knowing whether or not you are, in the career, in your career sweet spot, it's really paying attention to those values, those feelings, you know, where you feel energized, where you feel drained. And hopefully if you're ticking all of those boxes that you feel really excited about going to work, these are all really, really positive signs that you are in the right career path. You're on the right track.
I love that. I think that's amazing advice. And yeah, the one thing that I've had to do as well, and I'm sure you're the same, Stacey, is just implement a couple of boundaries when it comes to work and business, because otherwise I could wake up, start working and work until the early hours of the morning. So just having those boundaries and just blocking out time of when I'm gonna, you know, go for a walk, head to the gym, you know, just doing these sort of key activities that I know keep me mentally and physically healthy as well, because I didn't make time for them before when I first started the business. And that's where I think it started to go quite wrong quite quick. So again, knowing me, knowing my value, self-awareness, all those sorts of things, once you know that, you can start making these key things a priority. You know, for example, if it's family, it's like, okay, I know every day I want to go and pick up my children at 3 o'clock from school. Perfect. Schedule that in, make sure it's a priority, and make sure then you find a career or job or have a business that supports that as well. I think knowing yourself, I think everything we've spoken about today is just know thyself. It's like literally just like the quote of probably the podcast, because if you do not know that, you are going to climb the wrong ladder, end up in the wrong career, and then sort of, you know, hit a crossroads and really are, you know, feel stuck and what is next for me, which we want to avoid at all costs. But Stacey, for those listening to this that would love to find out more about you, about what you do, are wanting some coaching on that, you know, what's next for them, where can I send them? Where should I put, you know, where should I send them? How can I introduce them to you?
Thank you, Georgie. I really appreciate the offer and your time today. It's been, I've loved chatting to you. So best place to find me is my website, stacyback.com. I am Stacey Back, that's with an EY everywhere. LinkedIn, I'm most active on. So go find me over there. Actually, lots of free content, etc., over there. And in terms of how people can work with me, it's either through individual coaching or through the corporate workshops and coaching that I mentioned earlier, but all the details over on my website.
Amazing. We'll make sure we link that below. But thank you so much for coming on today. So much value in this episode today. And I really hope everyone listening has been taking notes and takes action on what Stacey said today. So thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoy these episodes, the number one thing you can do to help us grow and keep spreading our mission and message is to hit the subscribe button. And if you have time, give us a quick rating. Appreciate each and every one of you who tune in every week. And we look forward to bringing you many more episodes this year. Take care.